Hey, everybody, welcome. It's Motivation Monday. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I wrote a sales manifesto sitting right in front of you right here. And this is Motivation Monday. I'm introducing my partner.
Hello, I'm Jen Gleckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die.
And welcome to Death Wish Coffee.
That's right. We are so glad you're here. We are pumped up. We've been drinking our Death Wish Coffee all morning. This is my third cup, I think.
So what are we going to talk about today, Jen? Because we have a full agenda.
We have a really...
Agenda. Get that to Jen in the middle of it. Agenda.
Very funny. We have an amazing episode today. We're going to be talking about your discovery calls and
why they're bullshit,
how they're doing, and how much are you and your product and your service or whatever it is that you're selling worth, and how much does that really matter when you're talking about pricing and what to charge? So we're going to be talking about getting your price and all things related. But first, we have a fun segment called
Share This.
All right, Nada, what do we got?
All right, first on deck, we have normal people at the end of the month. And there, as you see, it's R2-D2. Hopefully George Lucas
it's R2-D2? I've never heard of that before. What is that about?
Wait, you've never watched Star Wars before?
Oh, come on, Nada. Everyone knows what that is. You don't have to identify it.
But people who are listening might not see the picture.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. This is for the podcast version for everybody. Uh-huh. And then, as you see, the salespeople at the end of the month.
That is just funny as hell. That is just funny as hell.
They feel like a trash can. Do they feel like the shell, or do they feel like the inside?
They've been trashed all month. They've been trashed. No one's returning their call. That one customer that they needed to make their quota fell through because their pipeline sucked. And they're just, they're not even painted.
Don't feel like that trashy trash can. It is painted pretty, though, for a trash can.
It's not.
It is too.
Nada, do we have anything else?
We have a second one.
Aha!
Waiting for the prospect to call you back. Every salesperson has gone through this at some point, and as we see, the pointlessness of waiting for your prospect to call you back.
So for those of you who are just listening and can't see the visual, it is a skeleton sitting at a desk, like literally skull skeleton.
Classic. Yeah.
So you could die waiting there. Is that the whole point?
Jen, the picture speaks for itself. I
freaking love it. I love it. These are really good. All right. So we have a bunch of friends here joining us live on Facebook, and I want to make sure we're saying hey to them. So if you are here watching right now, make sure you pop in there into the comments who you are, say hey to us, let us know where you're watching from, where you live. We want to know. Yeah. We care. But we have Brian Kelm, who says, in Gittimer's, I trust.
Oh,
and believe me, I noticed the S.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, Brian's a wedding guy anyway. Brian Kelm puts on great weddings.
He does. We almost called him, actually, but then
he was too far away.
Yeah.
One thing, though.
What?
How good of a friend or a diehard are you if you're not sharing this amongst your own Facebook community?
Exactly. You tell him, Nada. If you're a diehard, you share this episode out. You share this out for us. Help us, people.
Yeah.
Please. All right. So let's see who else we've got here. We've got Glenn Caldwell, who says, happy Monday, and he gave a Canadian flag. Eric Bam. You love Eric Bam and his pizza on Instagram.
Eric Bam had a great family photo yesterday.
Aww.
I mean, literally a Father's Day photo. It was classic.
Eric had he had the honor of dining with us and our entire team at one of our events. That was a lot of fun.
And he didn't spit anything at all. He's a pizza guy.
Yeah.
And he understands pizza to the core and probably Italian food as well.
We have Callie from Tulsa, Oklahoma, ready for her Monday motivation. Woo! And we've got Tom, who says, hey guys, have a great week from Houston. Tom, it was great speaking with you.
We need somebody from Kuala Lumpur. Where the hell are those people?
I don't know. What time is it in Kuala Lumpur?
It doesn't matter. What time is it in Paris? They could have been on. It's 6 o'clock at night. Come on.
Why are we worried about the people in Kuala Lumpur? They're probably going to sleep or going to bed right now.
I don't
now.
Care. They should set an alarm.
Well, hey, guys, we are glad you're here, even if you're not from Kuala Lumpur. Make sure you share this out. Let's get to our main topic.
Okay.
It's all about charging what you're worth. And, well, that's what, you know,
I thought
people
we were gonna
like
talk
to
about
say. What?
Your
what
discovery
do you want to talk
call.
About? Oh, yeah, we're getting that's part of it.
No, it's not.
It is, too.
No, it's not.
All right, what do you want to talk about, Jeffrey?
People call up
Screw
on
the scripts. Who need them?
No, I want to know. When you make a discovery call that your boss has told you to make, because it's a dumb frick, it's another word for cold call,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to ask the person a bunch of questions about what they do and how they do it, what I want you to do is this. Ask yourself, could I Google this and find out the same damn thing? Why am I asking a customer, a potential customer, a prospect, or even an existing customer, a bunch of bullshit questions that I could have found out on Google? And you can also say, hey, I Googled you today to look up this, but here's something I didn't quite understand. I wonder if you could help me. That's a real discovery question. So stop asking stupid questions and start asking genuine questions that get to the heart of what you can learn about someone so you can find out what their potential motive to buy is and when. Okay.
Yeah, I
Hold
love
on
that.
A second. Hold on
yes.
a second. Doug, can you come here, please? No. I don't give a shit about the camera. Standing behind us is the great Doug Branson.
Wait, have you ever shown your face?
Oh, yeah. I've been on
this.
This
is Doug.
Yeah.
Hey,
the famous
everyone.
Doug. Doug is moving to Nashville at the end of the month.
We need a sad sound.
Yeah, whatever.
We don't do sad sounds on Motivation Monday because it's happy.
And Doug came up with Pump Day for Wednesday as opposed to Hump Day.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug has revamped the entire studio, and I want to issue him a blanket thank you and a blanket testimonial that if you're in Nashville and you're not hanging out with Doug, something's drastically wrong.
That's correct.
He will be coming in from time to time to do our podcast thing. So if you're interested in a podcast, we have just the right formula for you. What?
It's a good thing he shaved today.
Oh.
That's true. Yeah, I look camera ready.
You shaved today.
I look like a mountain man yesterday, so this is good.
Got it. Okay, but right. You left that Pete right. Townsend look.
Doug,
but,
we are no, we really, really you. Happy you're here. You've changed our show.
Yeah,
thank you. Okay. You know, it was Doug's idea to call it Sell or Die. He doesn't get the credit for it every day, but
and
it really was.
It was Doug's idea
on my
to change.
Royalty check, by the way. Yeah. 508.
It's in the mail.
One end in Branson. Actually, two ends, but who's counting?
Anyway, guys, if you love Doug and you love what he's done for the show, write Doug in there. Okay.
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Doug. Go Doug.
Okay.
Okay
cool.
So thank you, Doug.
Thank
we
you,
love
Doug.
You. And you guys might not be hearing Doug on the show as often, but as you have, but he will definitely be staying involved with Sell or Die and the network.
I can
and we're
promise
really
you this. The ghost of Doug will never go away.
All right. So we were talking about discovery
it's
calls.
The ghost of podcast past.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We were talking about discovery calls and what you need to discover on the calls and what you maybe need to discover before the calls. But now it's time to talk about how, after you've discovered all the things you need to discover, how you charge. Are you charging the right price? Are you confident in your price? Are you worried that they're going to haggle you on price? Because this comes up for salespeople
all the
time.
So let's distinguish. I have a product to sell. I have a service to sell. Because a product pretty much has a market price or a market piece. You can add things to that in order to create additional money, service after the sale or additional upgrading for the product. But the product has a pretty much a price, and your job is to figure out how much extra can I get. Now, if there is a service that's involved, the service fee is in your head because there are lawyers that charge $100 an hour and lawyers that charge $1,000 an hour. And what's the difference? And don't be a smartass and say $900. The difference is in their perceived ability to help or win. Think about your service. Are you, maybe you're doing training, maybe you're giving speeches, maybe you're a consultant, maybe you're a coach, but whatever it is that you're charging, it's in your head.
Absolutely.
It's totally in your head.
It's totally in your head, and then you try to justify it, and then you try to find out, oh, well, what are my competitors charging? Because I better only charge what they charge. And I'll give you an example, and it's a personal one, but when we started figuring out ads on the Sell or Die podcast, you know, we talked about, and Doug gave us some data on what other podcasts charge for ads.
Yeah, based on viewership.
Based on downloads. And it was very early in the game, and we weren't getting those kind of downloads. And we said, but hey, that's crazy. It doesn't matter that we're not getting those kind of downloads, because we can provide the value tenfold to what some of these other podcasts are providing, and let's offer that. And so we did, and that's what started creating revenue for our podcast in the early days.
So I'm going to give you an example, a classic early example for me. 15 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
I sat in the airport in Charlotte, and sitting next to me on accident was the publisher of the Business Journal, Mark Etheridge. And we talked because I was writing my column for them, and it was doing very well and la-di-da. And we get on the plane. It turns out he's sitting right next to me on coincidence.
There are no coincidences.
And he said, hey, what's your speaking fee this year? I said, $6,000. And he said, what was it last year? And I said, $5,000. And he said, are you 20% better? And I said, I don't know. And he looked at me and he goes, your fee is in your head. And I thought, holy shit, this guy's right. So I went home, literally on January the 14th, I went home and raised my fee to $7,500, just arbitrarily, did 100 speeches that year, made another $150,000 that year because I changed the feeling in my head. Now, should I have changed it to $10,000? You bet. Did I do a dumb thing? You bet. So I did a smart thing to make $150,000. I did a dumb thing not to make $250,000. But the bottom line is this. It taught me the lesson of what I'm thinking I'm worth is a whole lot less than what I'm actually worth.
And
same for you.
Yeah, and sometimes you can't even see how much you're really worth. So you had raised your prices over, that was 15 years ago, so this is like now over the years.
Yeah.
And then I came on board and I had seen other speakers, you know, in your, what they would call like your competition,
genre.
Your genre, yeah. Whatever. And I knew what they charged because word's out of what they charge. And I saw you. And granted, I am biased. But, you know, I saw what you were doing for your audiences and I saw the impact it was having on your audiences versus the impact these other speakers were having. And so what did I do?
Raise my fee.
That's right. I raised your fee. And so how did that change your belief system that like, oh, well, shit, I am worth it.
Well, to be honest with you,
please be honest.
I'm worth a lot more. And
I believe that.
Once we are totally digital, my fee will go up again. And if you want to pay, fine. And if you don't want to pay, I totally understand that.
Yeah. No, I agree. But your fee is in your head and what you're charging is in your head. And the way to be comfortable charging it, if you're an entrepreneur and not just a salesperson that like has to follow the pricing model of whatever your company says, is... And actually, even if you are a salesperson and you're following a pricing model, the best way to feel confident about the prices is to really understand how your customers are using your products, how they're using your services, and what kind of impact it's having on them, whether it be an income impact to them, whether it be some sort of time impact to them. But what kind of impact is it having to them and what's that worth to them?
So the challenge is not what's the market value of your product. The challenge is what is the value of the product once it has been used by your recipient, your customer. What's the outcome? And if you can nail down the outcome, you can totally nail down the value.
Their outcome
can
determine your income.
So if you're a speaker...
Hold on, that was good.
Yeah. I already said that. Yeah,
you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So...
Well, then I guess you agree it was good.
I do agree. So if you're somebody like Glenn Bill, who's in Indianapolis, charging for his attitude talk, raise your fee $5,000. You think it's going to change your income? No. Yeah, well, it definitely will change your income. But the outcome of what your audience gets. That's amazing. And you need to continue to raise your fee.
We have some amazing people here right now. We have Laura, who's watching from College Station, Texas. What's up? Thank you for reading my book. We said hey to Eric and Callie. We have Matt Moore from Chicago, Richard. So, guys, if you have questions about pricing and holding your pricing and what to charge and how to feel confident in charging whatever it is you're charging or how to overcome a price objection, whatever it might be around this topic, make sure you post it in there so we can comment and talk about whatever it is you're thinking, okay?
Yeah. And don't... Huh? Oh, we're going to go to a video?
Okay, let's do it. So
I just got a voice in my ear that you're not supposed to hear it out there in podcast land.
They don't.
We, with our ultimate wisdom, have a brand new silent voice in our ear. Like you said, play the video.
So guys, we have amazing stuff right after this video. Make sure you stay, watch the video, and stay here because we're not even going anywhere.
It's all about what it is we're talking about.
The biggest mistake most people make is thinking they have to charge what they're worth. You've probably heard that before, right? But that may be the worst advice you'll ever get. I get it. Most entrepreneurs struggle with what to charge and how much to charge. And when so-called experts are telling you, charge what you're worth, it's easy to fall into that trap. But that advice is dead wrong. If you charge only according to your world or what you think you're worth or what the market will bear, then you'd see everyone driving Chevys and drinking Budweiser. But look around. You see people driving Mercedes and Teslas and drinking craft beer. In fact, if you're only charging what you think you're worth, then you're probably letting price hold you back from getting the real profits you deserve. And maybe you're even questioning whether or not you even deserve that price at all. I mean, aren't you worth everything? Charge in terms of how much they win or what their value and their outcome is. Think about it. There's a difference between 60-cent gas station coffee and a $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks. The difference is your perception, your desire, and your perceived value. The same goes for your customers. Now's the time to stop melting pennies into profit and instead build a life filled with more money, more confidence, and more financial freedom to create the life of your dreams. So let me ask you, do you really want to keep charging what you're worth and holding yourself back from creating the profits that you deserve? Or do you want to become the entrepreneur who starts taking massive, confident action with an offer that's based on value, outcome, and profit? You with me?
It is time to hit the list.
I love it. Welcome back to Motivation Monday on Sell or Die. Diehards, thank you for sticking with us. It's time to hit the list. You know, we really love lists around here. They're like a thing. And we love sharing great sales blogs and sales strategies from other people and then giving a little bit of our perspective. So Our list this week comes from Richard Smith. He's the co-founder and head of sales for Refract.ai. He's writing for SalesHacker.com, and he has 7 mistakes that salespeople make on a discovery call.
Ooh, that ties in with our opening statement.
This is unbelievable. Is that?
I mean, it's almost like this is a well-produced show.
Yeah. No, it's almost like people have planned what it is we're going to be doing. I love that.
All right. Nada. So number hit the one, list.
Oh. Combining discovery with demo. As the most important part of the sales process, discovery should be given the deluxe treatment it deserves and not mashed together with a product demonstration.
I think that that's okay as long as the prospect doesn't feel like they're on a discovery call, because that's really icky. Like, remember when we sat down with that doctor and she was asking like 300 million questions, doing her discovery? Yeah. That was fine because it was a doctor's office. So like the more information she knew, like the more,
she
the
could
better.
Help us, yeah.
Right, exactly.
But it was information she didn't know.
Right, and she couldn't Google.
Right.
And so if you're a salesperson, you ain't no doctor. Okay. So don't be doing that. Don't be asking 3 million questions because really the person just wants their freaking demo.
Correct. Now, we're going to go against the morons who think finding the pain is an important part of the sales process. They have another like strategy that they use. Nada, tell us about it.
Okay. The second one, forgetting the upfront agreement. Smith writes, as an upfront agreement is essentially a shared decision made between you and your prospect at the start of every interaction. Included in their argument, in their agreement, are two things: the purpose of the conversation you're about to have, what happens at the end of the conversation.
As long as you are not pushing this down their throat with some stupid ass sales pitch like, and if we agree at the end, I'm sure you're willing to move forward. Is that correct, Mr. Jones? You know,
yeah.
I every once in a while, I'll bring an idea into someone, and I'll say, Mr. Jones, I brought a couple of ideas with me, and all I ask is if you like them, you run with them. Fair enough. Now, I got my upfront agreement, but I didn't go into some kind of bullshit sales pitch in order to try to get it.
So before I started my business, and I was a sales trainer for a company, and I had a national sales team, I got trained on like 4 or 5 of some of the major sales trainings. And a lot of them teach you, I don't teach this, a lot of them teach you to get that agreement. Like, you literally have to go in there and say, okay, so if we do this, at the end, you agree that da da da, and you'll agree that by the end, we will be doing this together. And it's like, seriously? I don't even want to get started. If you're making me agree now, what am I going to have to do at the end?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, the agreement should be implied, but not stated. Or like Jeffrey said, with a cool question, like fair enough, but not actually like, well, if I do this, I want to make sure that you'll agree to that. Because honestly, like that's manipulative and that's bullshit. Do you think that if they agree up front and then they have your pitch and then they don't want to move forward with you, they're going to move forward with you anyway? Hell no. If they don't want to move forward, they're not going to move forward anyway. So what's the point of getting that like out loud agreement? Just have it implied and make a friend.
Right.
Make it a conversation between like people who actually like each other.
Here's the deal. Forget the upfront agreement. The best thing you can do in the beginning of a talk is find some kind of common ground to move forward and not worry about any kind of sales manipulative bullshit when you start. And
like he said,
go to number three.
All right, so number three, it's a common problem that salesmen have.
Hmm.
They call this premature pitulation.
Cool. I like it.
Smith writes, more often than not, the salesperson ends up explaining all of their products, features, and benefits and why they are so brilliant.
I call that the show up and throw up. Not good.
And I think you should look at it from the perspective of anything you make as a statement might be viewed as a sales pitch, and anything you ask as a question might be a desire for information.
What's number four?
Number four would be, and I know Jeffrey's going to love this one, missing out on the pain nuggets.
Ooh.
Smith writes, pain nuggets are the delightful trinkets often hidden away in discovery calls. They're typically dropped into the conversation in the form of individual words or short phrases that reveal a prospect's true motivations.
So that's a nothing statement. What I'd like to look at is, what are the customer's desire for a positive outcome? That's how you should look at this. What's it gonna, if someone buys your product or buys your service, what will it look like after they take ownership and there's a positive result? My pain, just so we understand each other, is none of your fucking business. Just so we understand each other.
Yeah.
Nada, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay.
I'm still there. I'm a little shocked, but still.
Yeah, I just, the pain thing really irks me. You don't want me to go down this one. Yeah. I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, stop focusing on pain. It's not about pain. Find the good. Be positive.
I'd rather someone know where I play golf or what I do with my spare time.
Or what I'm hoping to do with that extra income.
Yeah, then why I missed a payment last January.
All right, then. So
you did?
No.
Oh, okay.
So before we get into missed payments, let's get to number five.
All right.
Talking too much. Smith writes, Here's the rule of thumb. We should speak less than 50% of the time in our discovery conversations.
Oh my God, you guys, stop worrying about how much you're talking or how little you're talking. Just be real. Like, make a friend. Why is this? People overcomplicate sales and selling. This is not about some complex strategy of how many words you need to have per minute or per the 30 minutes. Like, what would you do if you were sitting there with a friend? Would you talk the whole time? No, because you're not an idiot, okay? So just be normal.
Yeah, don't be an idiot, you douchebag.
You know, just be normal and friendly. Ask questions, because when you ask questions, you're actually leading the conversation and get them to open up. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
One thing I would love to know what the Facebook community is thinking about this right now before I get to number 6.
Is this like pissing you off as much as me? Come on. Type it in there. Tell us.
Exactly. Yeah. Let us know. Again, this is a community. This is a family, y'all. We're trying to grow together.
Yeah.
That's right. You tell me.
Wasting time with useless questions.
And hanging up on me all together. Some family. All right. So let me get to number 6 before Jeffrey ruins the entire thing for
Please. Me. Please.
So number 6, obviously, wasting time with useless questions. Asking a VP of sales what their role involves demonstrates you haven't done your homework. Worse, it signals your inexperience.
Yeah, I'm going to say that stupid questions definitely beget stupid answers or a turnoff for that salesperson. So your questions have to be involved, and I have a formula for it. You ask a question about the other person that makes them stop and think, consider new information, and respond in terms of you. So what they do is not new information for them.
Yeah, and if you're interested in learning more about that formula, you actually should join Jeffrey's upcoming webinar. We're going to pop a link into there right now. It's for young professionals who are in sales, and he's going to teach you all about it.
They're not young hustlers.
Yeah.
They're young professionals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't want you to hustle and make no money. I want you to become a salesperson and make a ton.
That's right. All right, Nada, hit us. What's number 7?
Last one. Making it feel like an interrogation. Smith writes, when we ask too many questions one after the other, our prospects start to feel like they're being interrogated. If they don't know why you're following a particular line of questions, sales resistance starts to set in.
So one year we trained the entire sales team on, I think it was like, I don't want to mention the name.
What is it?
But it rhymes with Finn selling.
Oh.
Anyway, in it, they tell you to ask all these questions. And so I would shadow my reps. I was a manager. I would shadow my reps and they'd sit down and they'd just start with like 25 questions. And I'd be jumping in there like SOS, save our sales. Like, no, okay. No more questions. Just have a freaking conversation.
So diehards, as you're listening to this, whether it's live right now or later, could you please put in your philosophy for making sales happen? And what are you doing right and what are you doing wrong? What do you like? What do you dislike? And what works for you?
I love, yeah.
Just a few.
I love this comment from Eric who says, can I say that sometimes we can get so worried about today's outcome that we forget about the long-term income? Ooh, way to spin that one,
that
Eric.
That is a brilliant way to do this, but we have to thank Richard Smith for this article. We will put the link in the show.
If it wasn't for him, we'd have nobody's balls to bust.
No, it was great. He's saying salespeople make these mistakes. So in general, we are agreeing with him.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
all right. So we have a really amazing segment coming up, and it's all about the leads. But first, this short break. Entrepreneur, a sales manager, and you know what? You want to make more sales. You want to earn more money.
I'm Jen Gluckow. I wrote Sales in a New York Minute, and I co-host the Sell or Die podcast with Jeffrey Gittimer. And we're coming to your city to help you make more sales, to help you earn more money. We're going to give you real-world strategies that you can use to make more sales in a New York Minute. So click below, check out that link, and sign up to see us live.
So we now have this thing called the lead.
The leads, because...
And I'm going to give it over to Jen first, because she is the leader.
Oh, well, we both lead. Oh. I love that. It's like Western music.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Salespeople everywhere are waiting on new leads to just, like, pop into their inbox. And the thing is, the leads are all around us. They're everywhere you look. There are leads that you might not even realize. And so we're introducing to you during this segment things that we see, we hear, we read that inspire us and will lead us to our next sale. So, Jeffrey, what's your lead this week?
My lead this week, Jen, is the topic that I have been raving about, ranting about over the course of the last couple of weeks. And it is, in fact, competitive advantage. And what I'm going to do right now is give you the definition of it to make you think. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about it more in depth. I'm going to be giving some master classes, and you'll be able to sign up for them, because competitive advantage integrates with every single aspect, every single element of your sales presentation, from making a cold call or getting an appointment to closing a sale and building a relationship. So here goes the definition. A competitive advantage is not something that you have that the competition does not have. Reason? Because the customer may not need it. So if you have it and the competition doesn't have it and the customer doesn't need it, it's a worthless advantage. So let me redefine competitive advantage forever. It is something that you have a great expertise in that your customer needs. So if you have it and they need it, you have the possibility of a competitive advantage, regardless of whether your competitor has it or not, especially if you excel at it. And so I'm going to be talking to you about how to establish a competitive advantage in every single thing that you do. Look for the masterclasses coming your way damn soon.
I love that. You guys, if you have a specific topic you'd like to know about in terms of competitive advantage, like you want to know specifically, how do I get a competitive advantage on referral selling? Or how do I get a competitive advantage on cold calls or prospecting? Type it in here, because we really want to know what you're hoping for. Jeffrey's creating these amazing masterclasses, and we want to make sure that we're serving you in the best way possible.
Yeah, so let it out.
Let it loose. All right, so my lead this week, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to the Mind Your Business podcast all the time. It's very woo, so if you don't like woo, don't listen. But if you like woo, you might like it.
If you like woo, it's for you.
And it's the host of the podcast is James Wedmore, my mentor. And he had a guest on all last week. He had three episodes last week with Jasmine Starr. She's a photographer and branding specialist, and she helps people grow their Instagram following. And so she was talking about, it was amazing, and she was talking about some of the things you need to do on Instagram to really get better at creating your following. And I thought this related to all of you guys out there, because like Instagram selling is where it's at. People think it's all about in the Facebook ads and this and that, but really it's in the DMs. You need to be sliding into people's DMs, and she tells you how. And so the thing that she said that really stuck out, I actually wrote it down. I take notes on podcasts. I love being a podcast dork. She said, it's about being profitable, not popular. Okay, so we all worry about, oh my God, do I have 10,000 followers? Because I need the swipe up thing and I need 10,000 followers or I'm no one on Instagram. But really, it's not about that. Okay, because if you have 10,000 followers and 100 of them buy, well, then you don't have the right followers and the quality of following is shit. But if you have 1,000 followers and 900 of them buy, well, hell, you're doing a great job. And so it's about figuring out the strategy to become profitable, not popular. And I just thought that was so, I love like alliteration words and I liked how she said it. And it also really inspired me to think about what are we doing where, you know, in life where we're worried about the stars or the likes or whatever, rather than actually strategically creating the right following for ourselves, the right tribe for ourselves, the right prospect customer list. You know, it's not about having a million people on your list. It's about having people on your list that know, like, and trust you and that want to buy from you. And so what are you doing as a salesperson to actually create that and cultivate that? And so that was my lead for the week.
So who we got coming up on Seller Die? What's our menu this week? What's our...
have an amazing agenda
cool.
coming up this week. On Tuesday, we have Teresa Kwan of Daringly Great Leadership. And Teresa has been helping startups and entrepreneurial companies become sustainable companies. And she's been doing this for like 20 years, even though she doesn't look old enough.
She looks 21.
She's going to explain to us why core values matter in workplace culture. And it's so much deeper than that. She goes into Culture Island and just so many amazing things. You have to listen to tomorrow's episode. And then on Wednesday, we have a Seller Die Extra featuring the one, the only, the king of sales, Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer. He's on the Smart People podcast, and he discusses the commitment it takes to get the success you desire. Not like this kind of commitment, right?
I know. Okay. I like being on other people's podcasts because it gives me the opportunity to pontificate without interruption. And I don't like to dominate our podcast. I want to let the guest be the dominant person. So I'm challenging you, if you have a podcast, don't be the domineer, be the interviewer and go on other people's podcasts so you can record what it is your philosophy is or what your value statements are, or all the things that you believe in. And you can do, other people want to know on their podcast, you are the star. Go.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So we were just talking about Instagram and I have two favorites who talk about Instagram. And on Thursday, we were fortunate enough to interview Tyler J. McCall. He stops by to give us a lesson on attracting a following on social media. He is freaking
he's
phenomenal.
Damn good. Yeah, he's damn
oh
good.
My God. You guys are going to love him. And then, of course, on Friday, we have our best of.
So as Jen and I say the same thing at the same time, I'm going to divert away from that just a little bit and say bye.
Oh, au revoir.
Yeah, we're out of here. This has been real and it's been nice. And we will see you again next Monday, live and in person.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.